Can you imagine what the Israelites must have thought as God brought them out of Egypt? Took them out into this wilderness, and after all, they could only take so many things from Egypt with them. And provisions wouldn't last that long, and yet he who began a good work in them, he was faithful to take care of them. Amen? And not just for one day, not just for 1 week, but God was faithful to take care of them for 40 years. Every day. Every night. You know, to go before them with a cloud by the day and a pillar of fire at nighttime so that they could see, to feed them each and every day, to provide water for them each and every day. I forget, there was an engineer who figured out with 2 million people wandering around in the wilderness just exactly how much food and water that would take every day. And he mathematically figured out that it would take a railroad train 18 miles long every day, showing up with the provisions to feed that many people. I think of, I was watching TV last night, and one of the great stories that was on the news is that there are going to be, I forget what the number was, I think 50,000 pizzas being delivered to our troops today. You know, for the, you know, they try to do this on special occasions. But 50,000 pizzas being, can you imagine cooking that many pizzas? I mean, after a while, I think I'd get tired of stretching out the dough and then pouring tomato sauce on it and doing all the things and all the cheese and things. But DHL had even stepped up and said, you know what? If you guys are going to make all these pizzas, we're going to transport them for free. And so then they had these pictures of past performances that of the troops sitting around either at Christmas time or other occasions, and definitely for Super Bowls, because today is Super Bowl Sunday. And I've hidden the remote control from my wife just to kind of take care of that early on. That's just an inside joke in case some of you didn't get that. But where was I going? Yeah, DHL is delivering all these pizzas, and to see our troops smiling and happy and just gorging themselves on pizza is just a wonderful. And those are provisions. God has made provision for you and for me to live a holy life before him, to be accepted by him. In fact, here's a wonderful poem that was written by John Newton, who lived from 1725 to 1807. And the title of this poem is A Life Destroyed. This is a Life Destroyed by John Newton. In evil long I took delight, unstopped by shame or fear, until an object struck my sight and stopped my wild career. I saw him hanging on a tree in agonies and blood. He fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Never until my latest breath will I forget his look. He seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt that plunged me to despair. I saw how my sins his blood had spilt. I had helped to nail him there. Alas, I knew not what I did, but now my tears are vain. Where shall my trembling soul be hid? For I, the Lord, have slain. A second look he gave, and he said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that thou mightst live. Thus while his death my sin displays in all its blackest hue, such is the mystery of his grace, it seals my pardon too. With pleasing grief and mournful joy, my spirit is now filled that I should such a life destroy, yet live by him I killed. This morning as we take communion, I need you to just kind of think about the provision that God made for you and for me. Think about Jesus hanging up on the cross because of your sin. You didn't want to put him there. And yet this was God's plan, that he, the innocent one, should die for you and for me, for all mankind. To put an end to the tyranny of sin. To finally make a way that you and me could come into the very presence of a holy God without fear, without shame. As we take communion this morning, ask God to search your heart. Have you been in error anywhere in your life? Have you knowingly disobeyed God in any place? Lord God, forgive us our sins. As we forgive those who sin against us. Thank you for the provision of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose body and blood make us pure and holy in your sight. It is an offering that I could not make for myself. It was an offering made by your Son, that I may not die, but that I may experience life everlasting. Lord God, I desire to live with you forever. And I declare that as I take this communion that says, Jesus, I remember you for the sacrifice that you made for me. Declare me holy. Declare me blameless. In Jesus' name. And everybody who agreed said, I love our first Sundays of the month when we gather together as family and we have our children with us in worship, that they get to take part in the sacraments, as they learn from their parents, from their grandparents, in how to take part in this sacred event. Glory be to God Almighty. Amen. If you'll take your bulletins out, and inside you'll have an outline in there to follow along as I speak about today's subject. And as a quick review, last week we learned that God's language is a language of what? It's a language of truth. And that language of truth needs to be spoken from where? From our heart. So it indicates that we need to hide God's word in our heart. And so from that very positive activity that, you know, of hiding God's word in our heart, that helps us to relate to God our Father, to the almost opposite of speaking the truth from our heart, today is speaking God's language part two. And speaking God's language part two is going to be about the things that we should not speak with our tongues. It's good to have what you should speak first and foremost, right? Because that helps to give you the tools for knowing how to speak God's language. Well, this week, speaking God's language, part two, Psalm 15, verses 2 and 3. And some of you may be going, Pastor, are you ever going to give us, there's a whole lot more Bible. Are you going to give us anything besides Psalm 15, which is my third week in a row? And I say back, not in retaliation, but until we get this part of Scripture into our hearts and into our minds, we need to dwell on it. We need to meditate on it. And we need to employ the truth of it in our life. So, Psalm 15, verses 2 and 3. The question first, who may live on your holy hill? Those who speak the truth from their hearts, who has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong, and casts no slur on his fellow man. The whole idea of this psalm is to qualify us as far as what is required for those who desire to live eternally with God. As we know, God has installed as our basic operating system within each and every one of us eternity. He has put that in the hearts of men and women alike, and we long to live forever, which is the reason why so many people hold on to this life so dearly. A lot of them because they have absolutely no knowledge of the promises of God and the living hope beyond this primary existence. This primary existence is to learn how to worship God and how to walk with Him in a perfect relationship. Pastor, did you just say perfect? Yeah, I did. Well, but who in this room is perfect? Not one of us. And yet all of us. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have been made perfect in God's eyes. And you are being made perfect each and every day as you desire to grow closer and closer to God. Just as James chapter 4 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Amen? When we look at this first requirement to live eternally on God's holy hill, we can distill it down to having control over a very small but a very influential part of our body. The tongue. I need help. How about you? Right? I mean, it's the basic thing that we try to teach our children, isn't it? We try to teach our children how to talk, how to communicate with us. And then we spend the next 16 years telling them to shut up and sit down. Go figure, right? But what we try to teach our children at the very beginning is how to speak. Did you say please when you asked for something? Did you say thank you when you got that? Yeah, right? These are communication tools that we try to teach our children, and so it is with us. We have a Heavenly Father who is trying to teach us how to communicate in His language. And so your first fill-in is this: control of the tongue comes from God's Spirit. Control of the tongue comes from God's Spirit. And you can maybe put out there in the print, in the margin, in you. You see, it's God's Spirit in you that helps you control your tongue. And boy, do I need more of God's Spirit. Amen? I love this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Read this with me if you would. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Folks, we can speak all sorts of languages of this world. We can even speak the angels' language. But if we don't have love, we're a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Has anyone ever spoken to you and you're just going, all you're hearing is a clash of cymbals when they speak to you? Because it's just not, And I like how some of you wives and husbands looked at each other. Oh, yeah. Get that quite often. Can any of you control your tongue? I mean, really control your tongue? I try. But there are times when I fail miserably. And when I stand up here every Sunday morning, it's one of my prayers that the words that I will speak will edify the Lord, will strengthen your walk, will build you up in your faith so that you will walk closer and closer with the Lord all the time. And I admit to God every week, I cannot do this job on my own, that I need the power of His Spirit. And so we too, to speak God's language, we need the power of His Spirit in us to help us control these things. Because as James chapter 3, verse 2 says, read this with me, please. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. So there it is, folks. We all make many mistakes. Can I hear an amen? For if we could control our tongues, we would be what? Perfect. And we can all admit, there's not a perfect person here, right? And we could also control ourselves in every other way of life. Father, how we all need to capture the essence of Your Spirit within us. To know that You, Lord God, are living not only with us, but in us and speaking through us. And if we would only realize that, then we would speak kinder words to other people around us. We would speak words that would build up and encourage others rather than those that would tear down. Thank You, Lord, for that gift of Your Holy Spirit. May we employ it quite often to help us control our tongue. Indeed, many a man or woman is thought to be wise until they open their mouth and start speaking. My father once taught me a very valuable lesson as he heard me out in the backyard just leaving out allowing a curse word to come out of my mouth. And my father, he didn't grab me and pull me and beat me or anything like that, but he just pulled me alongside and he says, "Son, I want you to appear successful before other people." And he says, "Something I want to let you know is people who curse are people who have a limited vocabulary. So if you want to appear wise before others, remove cursing from your tongue and from your speech." Those were powerful words, and they really affected me. Did I use them all the time in my life? No, I didn't. But I employ that truth now. Indeed, many a man or woman is thought to be wise until they open their mouth and start speaking. Do people think that you're wise because of the words of God that you speak to them? Fill in number two. To speak slander is to speak Satan's tongue, his language. To speak slander is to speak Satan's language. Have you ever thought about it that way? That when you slander someone else, that you are speaking Satan's language over them? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 and 31 says what? "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice." Now, this was a lesson. This scripture came to me at a time in my life when I was really upset with my daughter's choice of a man. And as a father, I had such anger toward the way that this man was treating my precious daughter. That I'm ashamed to admit, I had a couple of friends set up to meet him and to do him harm. Because I knew that if I met up with him, as a father with all my zeal and love for my daughter, it was not going to be a pretty thing, and I would probably be put in prison for what I would do to this man. And as I was putting these things in play, as I was planning out his demise, I came across this scripture. And God spoke to me. I mean, talk about get in your face. God got into my face. And he said, "Don, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger." But God, do you see what he's doing to my daughter? "Not a thing has gone past my eyes, Don. I'll take care of it. He will answer to me. Get rid of any brawling or slander. Don't take it to a physical level. To take it to a physical level does what? Oh, it proves my prowess over somebody else, my strength over somebody else. Oh, I can beat them to a pulp. So what? What does that prove? Nothing. Does it better the person? No. Malice was the word that I got tripped up on when I saw this. I was like, okay, Lord, what does malice mean? And so I pulled out my dictionary and my Bible dictionary, and I looked up the word malice. And the word malice goes much along with slander. Malice is to wish harm upon someone else and even to plan harm on someone else. When God gets in your face like that, there's only one thing to do. Ask forgiveness for the sin that you've been harboring in your heart, for what you were thinking about doing to another individual who is made just like you are in the image of God. And this is the funny thing. This is where I knew that the Spirit of God had taken hold of my life. Not right away, but later on. I apologized to him, to this one who had done my daughter so much harm. I apologized. And you know why? Because God had shown me that if I keep holding this feeling of anger, and that I will stop the Spirit of God from working in his life. And I so wanted the Spirit of God to work in him. And so what did I do? I did what my father told me to do. I went and confronted him, and I said, I want you to forgive me. I couldn't believe the words were coming out of my mouth. And neither could he. He knew I didn't like him. And here I was, standing before him, asking him to please forgive me. And he was so shocked. He was like, forgive you for what? I said, forgive me for the way that I have talked about you and for the way that I have thought about you. You see, Satan's desire is to kill, steal, and destroy. And he will employ the tongues of others to do his work. To slander is to speak critically of another person with an intent to harm them. God commands us not to speak lies against our neighbor. And yet, it seems that if you are not a craftsman of this type of language, you're not considered worthy of serving in public office. Did you get that? I mean, I just recovered from the last rounds of political slanders, and I'm not looking forward to more of them. They're already talking about presidential election in 2016. And many of us get caught up in these types of conversations when the leadership of this country is spoken of. Can I hear and I'm guilty on that one. So if you don't like what's going on in the leadership of your country, then use a weapon more powerful than a single vote. Pray. Pray for the leaders of our nation. Pray that he will direct them as he so desires. You know, we get what we deserve if we don't bathe things in prayer. But if we would take these things in prayer before God, do you think God has the ability to move in the hearts of the leaders of our country? He still moves mountains today, God's word says. And he can move in the hearts of our men and women serving us in leadership positions. To speak slander is to speak Satan's language, because his desire is to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what you do with the power of your words over someone else. Have any of you ever had someone speak slanderous things to you? Maybe you've had someone say something like, "You'll never measure up to anything. You're stupid. Oh, you're ugly, acne face." Or when I was younger, "You're a booger eater." I knew that'd wake up the kids. As Suzanne pointed out to our children this morning, it's the power of our words and what we speak over other people. And you know what? Sometimes those words, when they're spoken over us, we tend to take that home and we start to own it. And we start thinking in our own minds, I really am a loser because I'm not as popular as the other kids in school. I'm not as good as they are in their schoolwork. You know what? It takes a lot of ordinary people in the world to be able to define who the extraordinary people are. Amen? So, though you may not be the top in your class, give it your best shot. Just do your best in life. That's all God asks you to do. And then do it with the control and the power of His Spirit working in and through you, and you will do far more than you could ever think or imagine. I never imagined being a pastor and speaking before a crowd every week. It's only by God's divine appointment in my life. And me telling God, "You know what, God, I surrender." I took that song to heart. "I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Do with this life what you want. Not as I will, but what do you want to do with me?" And I'll tell you what, if you will speak those words to God, He will take you on an adventure that you could never think about your own self. And I look around at this crowd and I see so many gifted people, so many treasures in God's eyes. If you would only but allow God to use you, instead of thinking about, "Well, I'm just not trained for that." Honestly, how many of you have talked yourself out of witnessing to somebody because you said you weren't able to? Or you didn't have the right words to speak? Right? You know what the right words to speak to somebody who doesn't know the Lord are? Your own testimony, your own history, His story of how He's changed your life. And if your life hasn't been changed, then do you really have Christ in you? You know, because, well, that's a whole nother sermon. Let's not go there. Let's get back to the control of the tongue. So, your third fill-in. The tongue speaks an influential language. The tongue speaks an influential language. What sounds more uplifting? I just can't do that. Or, I may not know how to do that, but God does. And He can show me. God knows everything, right? So, why not ask Him to show us how to do things? Now, that does not mean that you test God. I would not tear down an engine and then go, okay, God, show me how to put it back together. Because I just got lost. No. But God can do immeasurably more with you than what you are allowing Him to do so far. And He wants to. So allow His Spirit to fill you and surrender yourself. The tongue speaks an influential language. James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says what? The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, is itself on fire by hell. Do you think James struggled with the power of the tongue? James could not write things like this if he too was not struggling with the power of the tongue. And so we need to take these words that he has penned for us through the power of the Holy Spirit and to put them into effect. Your tongue is a very small part of your body, right? But boy, can it powerfully lash somebody, right? I can make somebody feel stupid in just a couple of sentences if I so desire to. Or I can also build that person up as God would intend me to. Amen? So which do you choose to do? Because I can find a whole crew of people who will be glad to tear this country apart with criticism. But that doesn't push our country any further down the road. You know, the news has so infiltrated our hearts and our minds that it has influenced us to be very critical of others. And in the Christian world, we're not to be so critical of one another as we are to be building one another up. Amen? I hope that's really the way you feel. Because that's really what this is all about. It's about strengthening, building up, and encouraging people in their walk with God. So the tongue, we know, speaks an influential language. And then your last fill-in, truthful speech honors God. Slander dishonors. Truthful speech honors God. Slander dishonors. Again, going back to James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers. This should not be. I think if we were all honest with God and with each other, we'd have a prayer meeting right now to ask God to forgive us for the way that we have used our tongue in the past. And to ask Him to empower us with the gift of His Spirit within us so that we would speak in a language and in a tongue that would glorify our Father whom we represent and serve. We as a nation have become a people that thrive on the latest gossipy morsels that our news affiliates and personal associates speak into our minds, and then we speak them as if they were truth given right from God's throne. How many of you are harboring ill feelings towards the New England Patriots because of Deflategate? Because they were accused of deflating their footballs so that they could pass them and catch them easier. And yet, this is what has been blurbed on the news over and over and over again. Just as things are broadcast over our televisions about how unsuccessful our administration of our country is. Again, if you don't like what's going on, then get a prayer meeting together and watch God move. Don't take part in the slander and the criticisms. That's speaking Satan's language. It's being used of the devil. Instead, be used by God. Because I'll tell you what, when you speak words that encourage others, you get an elated feeling within you. Though you may think that speaking slanderous words would give you that one upmanship, it doesn't. It just takes you down a very slippery trail. So speak words that edify, that encourage, that strengthen, that build up. I'm going to share this last night. Can I do that? I went to Walmart last night, and this beautiful young lady was cashing out, and I had to go there. It was an emergency ration. My dogs were out of treats. And so I knew that, you know, if I didn't get my dogs treats, that they would have some really sorrowful looks on their faces as I left this morning. And so I got my dog treats, and I was looking for, you know, don't we do this? We look for the shortest line, don't we? And I'm looking around, and all of a sudden I see Danielle checking out, cashing. And I stepped in her line. I was like, oh, I've got an opportunity to speak to my sister, who I dearly love, and just am enthralled about her enthusiasm for God. And yet the people in front of me, they had this huge order. And in fact, if I remember right, it was like close to $185 as they were done. And the lady was so sweet to me, you know, when I came up with my two bags of dog treats. You know, she goes, oh, if I'd have only known, I'd have let you go ahead of me. And I said, no, that's okay. I said, I want time to speak to this sweet cashier. I said, you know, this is one of the most outstanding cashiers that Walmart has. And let me polish that pride up a little bit more for you. And then, much to their surprise, you know, the girl looked at me and she goes, yeah, really, she does. She's got a very sweet spirit about her. I said, oh, not only that, I said, she's got the Spirit of God in her voice. I said, you should hear her sing. And the girl goes, really? I said, yeah. So she says to Danielle, she goes, you can sing? And Danielle goes, oh, uh-huh. Oh, yeah, girl. I can sing. There's no shyness there. And she goes, well, let's hear something. And Danielle, she's not missing a lick. I mean, she's just, you know, here, $20 for that one, $40 for that one. She's checking their stuff out, and all of a sudden she breaks into Amazing Grace. And you know what I saw? I saw not only and heard this beautiful spirit just start singing and bringing praise to God, but I saw other people in the line behind her just kind of giving ear like this. It's like, well, I want to hear that, but I don't really want people to know that I'm listening to that kind of a thing. And they're listening. And the couple that was ahead of me in line, I saw the girl start mouthing the words along with her. You know what we had right there? We had a tongue that was edifying the Lord. And it ministered to this couple and to other people. It just spills out. And so it does when you speak words that are God's language. I encourage you, speak God's language more and more, and less of the human stuff. Less of the language of this world. And loving Heavenly Father, as we all declared at the very beginning of this message, we all need help. We're desperate for the power of your Spirit to teach us to speak your truth in love. May we be faithful to you in all things, Father, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. And Father, one more thing. Would you please bless our children for being a part of this service with us today, as we've been blessed by their presence. And everybody said,